This is Next Guy Up with KP and Cousin Mike.
Ready when you are. All right, here we go. And it's time for Next Guy Up. This is the weekly podcast where Michael and I talk about anything we want to, because that's what we do. And I already mentioned his name. Now let's formally introduce him. He's known as the talent portion of this program. He is Cousin Mike. What's up, Cousin Mike?
What's going on, KP?
How you doing tonight?
Good, man. Good.
Cut myself shaving.
Caught up on the week of sports.
Did you?
Cut yourself shaving?
Yeah, cut myself shaving. I think I just opened it up. So I might be bleeding like a prize fighter while we're doing this.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's see how that goes. But, yeah, so Mike's very busy doing things here and there. He's got a pregnant wife. So I think I'm allowed to say that now. It's been formally announced.
Yeah, everybody knows.
So he's got things going on. So, you know, he has sports has not been his cup of tea. Is his thing right now. So
yeah. I watch it. I don't follow it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
I put on the games and I enjoy them, but I'm not like doing deep dives like I used to. Into things.
Right. So that's what this is for. This is a weekly talk Mike and I tape to put on just in case anyone wants to do it. But really it's just me schooling on what's going on in the world of sports. So when he does join back into the world of sports, he's not completely lost. This is what we do. This is what we do at Next Guy Up. But to warm things up, we're going to do a little draft. We're going to talk a little bit about – I'm going to give Mike a topic and then let him go for a 2 minutes called Mad Minute, 2 Minutes Mike. And Mad Minute with 2 Minute Mike, I'm calling it. I don't know. We're going to work on a title. But I'm going to give him – just a word and see what he does with it. Or a phrase.
Okay, this should be good. It's going to be a good one.
Sports related, so don't worry about that. I got some arenas to talk about, and Noah Syndergaard, you son of a bitch. So let's get down to it. Let's just get right into it, put our feet in the fire, and start with our draft. Now, last year, this time, Mike and I did a draft for Thanksgiving. We drafted the Thanksgiving foods, the sides. And I won overwhelmingly with the famous, the delectable cream spinach.
Very controversial.
It's been a year now. It's been a year. Have you gotten over the cream spinach?
I can't believe I had every other great thing that you could have. Like, I had the better roster of food.
You did.
And then cream spinach comes out of left field. And
pretty sure you have mashed potatoes. Pretty sure you had the stuffing. I'm pretty sure you had everything.
Yeah, I definitely had just about everything. And cream spinach won. I
thought I screwed it up. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I throw cream spinach down as my last pick. We put it up on the socials, and overwhelmingly, people went with my Thanksgiving Day meal. Forgot what else was involved, but cream spinach is what put me over. So because of that, let me explain what we're going to do this year. This year, we're going to talk about the day after Thanksgiving, the very precious in a lot of people's lives. I don't know about yours, Mike, definitely mine, the leftover sandwich. I don't know if you do a sandwich. A lot of people do. I do a sandwich the next day with whatever's left over. So what we're going to do is we're going to build the best next day turkey sandwich. Turkey's on there. We're going to draft a bread. We're going to draft a condiment. And we're going to draft at least 2 sides. If you want to go 3, we can do that, to pop on the sandwich. Okay. Any order. You don't have to take bread in the first round. You know, any order. And since I overwhelmingly won with cream spinach, you will get first pick this year.
Okay.
So here we go. The next day turkey sandwich draft starts now. Mikey, you're on the clock.
I'm taking gravy. I don't know if you want to call it a condiment. I don't know if you want to call it a side.
We're going to call it a condiment because what else would you join in with gravy?
I was thinking condiment as well, but I'm not going to go without gravy on my sandwich.
All right. Well, it's almost unfair. You took gravy, the condiment. Now, you left the biggest one for me. You left out the no-brainer, I feel, number one pick, and that's stuffing. So I'm taking stuffing onto my – to me, I thought that was the Babe Ruth of this thing. So you left it up. I got stuffing. It changed my whole rest of my draft.
If we want to talk semantics here, the reason I didn't take stuffing one is because when you reheat turkey – it tends to dry out.
Shit.
So I stuck you with a very dry sandwich.
You did.
At the end of this, because Like, you have stuffed mayo. Good luck finding a good condiment to put on this thing. On your very dry sandwich.
I have one, but...
I mean, I'm sure you're going to pull up
it's
something.
It's going to suck.
You are a food connoisseur, but I took the gravy because that is my condiment of choice on my turkey sandwich after Thanksgiving.
All right. So I should be writing this down so I can put it on the socials and get off voting go. So, all right. So now we're on round two. You pick twice. Oh, wait. No, I picked twice. I'm sorry. We're coming back.
Yeah,
right?
You go. Yeah, it's you.
All right. So I took stuff and you got gravy. With stuffing, I'm going to have to go with cranberry sauce. I'm going to have to come back with the cranberry sauce. I'm going to put that as my condiment. So stuffing and cranberry sauce as the condiment. Right out of there. Stuffing and cranberry sauce as the condiment.
I still think gravy is a better condiment, but you have two of the top picks there.
Okay, now we're going to come to you. Right now you have bread. We don't know your bread. And you have both your sides.
Give me mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes on the sandwich. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, you took the stuffing, so I need a
okay. Interesting.
Replacement.
The bread's going to matter with you. The bread is going to matter.
I got to think of a strong bread.
Well, and you picked twice, so go ahead.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I
have an idea what bread you should come back with, but we'll see.
I almost want to do white, but that's too, like, white Wonder Bread isn't going to work.
Oh, my Lord.
That thing would fall apart.
Holy cow. We might have to turn you out of the country and do white bread.
Yeah.
You need something hardy. You need something thick. You need something that can handle it.
Yeah. Give me. You
need to tell us a load of breads right now.
Give me a loaf of Italian bread.
Now we're talking.
That's going to support the sandwich.
Yes, that's going to support the sandwich. And you bring in Italians into the mix, and they're going to love that. You might win because of that.
Might put me over the top.
You appeal to the Italians. You appeal to something special. You know what I mean? All right, so you got gravy, mashed potatoes, and Italian bread. I got stuffing and cranberry sauce. I picked twice. Stuffing, cranberry sauce, turkey. I need two sides to go on. Oh, I have the stuffing. I have the cranberry sauce. I need the bread. Let me go with the bread. I'm going to go with a nice, thick, marble rye. Nice, thick, marble rye. That's right. So if I was Jerry Seinfeld in that famous Seinfeld episode, and an old bag had that marble rye, I'd rip it out of my hands too, because this is what this sandwich needs. So I'm going with marble rye.
Okay.
I got the stuffing, I got cranberry sauce, and I have to pick my final coup de grace, my final accoutrement, my final pick for this sandwich. Stuffing, cranberry sauce, on marble rye, with turkey. What does it need? What does it need? It needs, oh boy, I'm going to throw a tomato on that. No, it ruins it. I'm not doing a tomato. Take that out. No way.
That's also not a traditional, like, what are you, you need a side, right?
I need a side, but this is, okay, I don't know what else.
A tomato isn't a side.
The problem I have here is this sandwich is perfect the way it is. I add something else, it almost destroys the sandwich. Now I got to think about something that's light enough that's not going to destroy the sandwich, but I have to pick it. You have to pick it.
This is so the hardest pick. This last side is the
hardest part. Exactly.
This is the hardest part. I got to find something that goes with mashed potatoes and gravy. So
I got to find something that's not ruining the sandwich. Stuffing, cranberry sauce, marble rye, turkey. It should end there, but I can't end it there. Mm-hmm. I got to stress that. I can't end it there. So I'm going to come back with, On the bottom of the bread, we're going to put a little thin piece of romaine lettuce.
So cheap.
From the salad that was on the Thanksgiving day.
That is so cheap.
Got to do it. I don't have a choice.
That is so cheap.
I don't have a choice. Who am I going to put sweet potato pie on there? I don't have a choice, man. So now you got two picks.
No, I only have one. I have one side, right?
You have one side. I apologize. Yes, you have one side. Yes. So you have one side. You have Italian bread, mashed potatoes, and gravy, turkey on it. That's a nice little open-faced sandwich you got working there. Yeah, a nice open-faced sandwich, I'm thinking. So you need something on top of that, accoutrement. You need something that's not going to tie this in.
It's tough. This is a tough one. This is maybe one of the toughest challenges that we've ever had come across at this point.
Right.
All the other drafts were easy compared to this one.
Yep, because this make it or break it, man. This is it. This is the one. What is he going to do? He can win it with this. This could be his late round, his Tom Brady pick. All right.
You went.
I went light, man.
You took a punt. You took a part of a side. You took the lettuce out of the salad.
Yes.
So here's what I'm going to do. Ready? I am going to scrape off.
And I have an idea where you're going.
The top layer of the green bean casserole.
Okay.
Just kind of those crunchy fried onions.
Fried onions.
I just want the fried onion. So maybe, you know, if a little of the casserole-esque, we're going to avoid the green beans. So I don't want it crunchy like that. I don't want, like, to bite through a green bean.
That might just have saved your sandwich right there. That might have saved you.
French onions crumbled on top.
French onions on there. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I think that would be a hell of a sandwich.
Owen Wilson would say, wow. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. I think that'd be a hell of a sandwich.
That is a... All right, so there you go. So
I think I might actually make that sandwich this year.
In conclusion, the day after Thanksgiving. Now, remember when I read this, people, we had to pick two sides. We had to pick two sides, all right? So Mike's sandwich will be on a nice Italian bread, the turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, and fried onions on top. Interesting sandwich. Mine is more traditional. You'll see it in almost every New York deli. It's the turkey, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce on marble rye. But I had to pick that last thing, and I went with romaine lettuce. So it's romaine lettuce on the bottom, a little turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, marble rye. Boom, there's my sandwich. Mike's got the overface Italian bread, looking good. That is our day after Thanksgiving draft. Make sure you vote on which one you think is the best. Mike, go ahead.
I think the lettuce is what's going to lose yours.
You son of a bitch.
I think the lettuce made your sandwich worse.
Yeah, it did. What are we gonna do? How to pick something?
You had to pick something. But I think lettuce makes your sandwich worse. Like, I think about your sandwich, and the first thing I'm doing when I get it is I'm yanking that lettuce out and throwing it away, and then I'm eating the rest of this sandwich, which would be delicious.
Romaine lettuce.
I mean, it'll have a nice little crunch, but I just.
Darker the green, the more the nutrients, man. I learned that from one of our JBO Wells. Darker the green, the more nutrients. All right, let's move on. That was fun. But now it's time to get Mike in a Mad Minute. And here's what I'm going to do. Ready? Just going to say a word or two words. This one's going to be two words. And we'll see what Mike does with it. Now, he did preface this by saying he's out of the sports loop. But I think he knows what's going on with his New York Jets. I have a feeling he knows what's going on with his New York Jets. So here's my two words for Michael. Joe Flacco. You got a minute on the
clock. Oh, Jesus. Really? I can't believe Joe Flacco's a Jet again. And we traded for him again. We actually gave up draft capital to get 102-year-old Joe Flacco back on the Jets. You probably could have got Brett Favre out of retirement to do what Joe Flacco's going to do for the Jets at this point. And it would have cost you less. We wouldn't have given – like, you could have pulled anybody off the street to do what Joe Flacco is doing for this damn team. Why did they cut him? Why did they even cut him in the first? Like, if you're just going to have him in the background, why'd you get rid of him in the first place? You literally made us trade for him. And now it looks like he's our starter this week.
Yes.
That's horrible. I mean, thank God we're playing Miami. He's like 100. How old is Joe Flacco? When's the last time Joe Flacco won a game? Let's see. He's 36 years old, which in football terms is 100.
100.
Right? Unless you're Tom Brady, he doesn't get the Tom Brady exception. I'm pretty sure he just got put back together, too, surgically, very recently. I would love to. I'm trying to figure out when's the last time Joe Flacco started a football game. And it shouldn't be, I'm guessing, anything that starts 202. I'm pretty sure he doesn't qualify there. It's got to be 201 and then another number. I don't know how low that number is going to get, though.
Last time he won a football game?
Or started. Just even started a football game.
2019, you think?
At least Flacco. Only two seats. Flacco. I should get a Joe Flacco jersey at this point. Let's see. Joe Flacco to start. Last Joe Flacco start. They didn't really read the – Google let me down on this one.
Yeah.
Let's see.
2019 with Denver.
Did he start, though, or was he just on Denver's roster?
I don't know. Hard to tell the way they write this, but if anybody knows out there and you're listening, I'm going to guess 2019. He had to get his couple of snaps at Denver in 2019. Absolutely had to.
Let's see. I found his game started. Oh, I lie. He started four games for the Jets in 2020.
We're not counting 2020.
I mean, 2020 was a disaster. By the way, he went 0-4 in those four starts. Granted, I think the Jets only won two games last year.
Let's bring him back.
But he was definitely 0-4. He started eight games for Denver. Nine for Baltimore. He hasn't won since 2019.
Wow.
I mean, I guess at this point, if you're a Jet fan, the season's at this point over, right? Like, we have seven losses, I want to say. So, at best, if we win out, which, let's be real, that's not happening, right? We go 10-7.
That's playoffs.
I don't know, man. I don't know if that's playoffs, 10-7. Not with the way that I'm pulling up the standings right now.
Sure.
So the Bills are 6-3. New England's 6-4. So I would have to imagine they're going to at least win 10. So I don't think 10 wins gets the AFC East division. Right. So now you're looking at coming in as a wild card. You have the Chargers, the Raiders, both with five wins that are competitive. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, all with five wins that are really good teams. There's only two wild card spots.
Yeah, maybe they don't make it.
I mean,
let's face it, they're not going 10-7.
Let's face it, they're not winning out. If they win two more games, three more games, that's going to be it. I think I counted three last time we did this. Mm-hmm. And I counted Miami when we weren't starting Joe Flacco. So that's off the table. Like, there's no way Joe Flacco's beating Miami this week. It's just not going to happen. It'll be a more competitive game than the last game we watched when they got absolutely trashed by the Bills. But it's going to be like a 9-6 football game or something like that.
Now, do you think they pulled the trigger on Mike White way too fast, or, you know, pulled the hook, I should say? Should they give this kid just see what he has? I mean, the season is basically over.
I would have left him out there. There's no, I don't see any reason. The only reason I would have sat Mike White at this point is if Zach Wilson got better. Joe Flacco, we know what he is.
Right.
Like, again, like, we're not winning the division. We're not making the playoffs this year. Let's see if Mike White can be either a serviceable backup, or best case scenario, Mike White lights the world on fire. He does win five games for you. And now all of a sudden he's a valuable trade piece in the big picture of things. Maybe you can get a second or third round pick for Mike White. Maybe we can get our pick back from Philly for fucking Joe Flacco. You know, I can't believe we gave up a draft pick for Joe Flacco. It could have been a six rounder. It's still too much.
Flacco gets no love. Zero love.
He would have gotten love 10 years ago. I would have loved to have 26-year-old Joe Flacco on my football team. 10 years ago, he went 12-4.
Right.
He would have gotten a ton of love a decade ago.
So here's what's going to happen. Joe Flacco will get hurt this week. Mike White will be in there. I'm claiming it right now by halftime. Maybe they're going to start the second half.
I don't I don't even think he makes it out of the first quarter. That Miami defense is a pretty
legit,
ugly.
Legit,
yeah, they're a decent defense. Right. They have no offense. That's why they can't win. But here's the thing. We don't have any. So Mike White and Zach Wilson were only doing as good as they were because they can run.
Right.
They had the legs to get away from pressure. Joe Flacco's he's got cement boots. Where's he going? He's going to stand in the pocket. I would set, if I was Vegas, I would set the over under on sacks by Miami at 7.5. Just Joe
Flacco. 7.5 on sacks?
Yeah.
In one game?
You know what? I'm half tempted to see if the Miami defense is available in my fantasy league right now. Because now that I'm thinking about it, with Joe Flacco out there, he can't run. The Jets can't block. Are we seeing the connection where there's a problem here, right? Like, there's going to be the Dolphins defense is going to be, if you have the Dolphins defense, start them. Start them now because they are going to put up crazy points based on just sacks alone. Just on sacks alone. I don't know who can see, but I have my phone up. I'm trying to figure out if the Miami defense is available.
I would guess that somebody would also.
Oh, they're available. I'm picking them up. Picking them up right now.
Here we go live.
I want to cut.
How's your fantasy league? How's your fantasy? Is this big? Is this? Are you in the running?
I'm in first place right now.
Oh, geez. And you.
Why can't I cut? There we go. Add and drop. I'm cutting Nyheim Hines.
You know what?
And I no.
Checking the same thing.
Oh, damn it! You know what? I can't cut Nyheim Hines. All right. Why not? I got him in a trade proposal.
So
I'm canceling my trade. I'm literally canceling my trade proposal right now just so I can drop Nyheim Hines and pick up the
what was the trade proposal? Can we be so bold?
Oh, so usually about halfway through the year, what I do is I go to the people that are like in last place and I try and get all their good players for nothing. So I think it was, I'm pretty sure I tried to trade like Nyheim Hines and Zach Ertz for Travis Kelce and another like a
superstar. You know these people? Are they friends of yours?
No, nobody accepted. Okay. Nobody accepted. But I'm starting, get back in there. Yeah, okay. Denver, starting the Miami defense. And actually, that's a great strategy for all you fantasy buffs out there. Just play the defense that's playing against the Jets. You're probably gonna have a great week. Your defense is gonna get you 10 to 15 points, almost guaranteed. So
that is funny.
Little fantasy tip from old cousin Mike. Start the defense that is playing the Jets.
Oh boy. So there you go. That's Mike's bed. I don't know. That was about.
That was that.
13 minutes, but that was great. That was exactly what I was looking for. Oh man. Fun times in New York sports. Real quick, Mike. I know you're not really keen on the sports thing. A couple of postseason awards were announced for baseball. Just go quickly. The Cy Young Award winners this year were Corbin Burns out of the National League, Robbie Ray. Out of the American League, Robbie Ray is a free agent, so let's see if that nets him any kind of real money.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah, it should. If he should go back to Toronto, really. That's where I see him landing. We'll see what happens. But the MVP just announced tonight. The MVP in the National League was one Bryce Harper from the Philadelphia Phillies. So Bryce,
really?
Second MVP award in his career, and I believe Bryce is now on the cusp, if not in. The discussion for the Hall of Fame. What do you think?
I'm pulling up his stats right now. I know Bryce Harper had a quietly really good year, didn't he? Like,
he sure did.
Well, he must have if he won the.
Just check his OPS. When you pull up his check, look at the OPS. When you have an OPS like that, you win.
Yeah, OPS was definitely. It was 1.044.
That gets you the MVP. It's hard. It's hard not to have. That gets you the MVP. That's an incredible season. Now, you got to remember, Bryce bats either leadoff or second for the Philadelphia Phillies. So the RBI total should be, for a leadoff hitter, what? A good RBI total in the National League for a leadoff hitter should be like 60s and 70s. Hit 84
RBIs. Yeah, 84 RBIs, which is fantastic for him.
The pitcher hitting in front of him, the number eight hitter hitting in front of him. You know what I mean? On the Philadelphia Phillies. So that's incredible in its own right. Batting average, I know we don't, it's taboo these days, but his batting average is great.
Listen, over 300 in today's game is fantastic. That's
unbelievable. Home runs, I think he had 34, 35 maybe? 35 home runs. Mm-hmm. And then I can imagine what the WAR is, because I don't understand what that is, but I'm sure that was very high. So very deserving
Bryce Harper. I don't see WAR here.
Yeah, whatever that thing is. Probably 40, something like that. But his very deserving reward for Bryce Harper, he beats out Tatis Jr. and Soto. That means three of the finalists for the National League MVP were not on playoff teams. Should that matter to MVP votes? What does the, and we say it every year, what does the word valuable mean? Valuable to what? Right. Valuable to their team, then their team MVP. Valuable to the league to get them to win is a different story. I don't get it. I'm fine in these sets of rules that Bryce Harper won the MVP, but I feel that an MVP should not even be considered on a team that didn't make the playoffs. Am I wrong?
I think they need to
rename it.
Value is the problem word.
Right.
Because was Bryce Harper of value to the Phillies? Not a great value. They didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
Like, and really, like, the way you look at who the most valuable person is what team doesn't make the playoffs if you take them off of that team?
That's a very, very good point.
You know,
very good.
What player, if you take them off the team, does that team get so first to worst because they lost that guy, whether it's the pitching arm of hell, we saw it this year with the Mets. Mets were supposed to have a great season, right?
DeGrom, we lost DeGrom. Down.
DeGrom goes down. This season's done. That would make him a 100. Valuable player to any team. You know,
for the definition of the word, he should have won the award then. You know, exactly. The definition of the word, he should have won the award.
He set the bar for what a valuable player was.
A team went down, the division fell apart. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. People be like, you're crazy. Yeah. But no, that if you're going by definition, if you're going to go by the definition of the word, that is the definition of the word. That's a perfect, perfect example. American League, Mike, Shohei Ohtani. The most exciting player in the game has won his MVP.
It's hard to argue. Again, they didn't make the playoffs. Granted, they were out without Mike Trout for a lot of this season, if I remember correctly. Which might actually, same thing here. Take out a guy, they get drastically worse, right? Like, losing Mike Trout really hurt the Angels' chances this year. I don't know how you don't give it to him, though. I'm trying to Google his stats, but I can't spell his damn name.
O-H-T-A-N-I.
What is it?
O-H-T-A-N-I. Ohtani. That's the best way to do it. So he beats out Vlad Guerrero Jr., and I believe Marcus Semien was the third.
That's what I saw, yeah.
The Blue Jays take another hit. Two of their guys on the MVP, and Angel does. So, again, everyone in the six finalists throughout baseball, none of their teams made it to the playoffs.
Right.
Now, here's a good example about the word valuable. The Angels now, and I can pull this up, but off the top of my head, they have had the MVP the last 5 years numerous times, most of it being Trout, now Ohtani. The Angels haven't even sniffed the playoffs. That means they had the best player in the game numerous times and have made the playoffs. And that GM that signed that team, that built that team, is now the GM in Queens. That's right. Billy Epler has been brought on as the GM for the New York Mets. And he is the GM, the mastermind who put together these Angels. But I think Epler is a good spot for the Mets because he does have pedigree. He does have style in the game. He is that took old time. The big names in the game that wanted them, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Mariners, because of the whole Japanese connection with the Mariners and the Japanese baseball league. But the Epler was able to get Ohtani back. Epler was able to sign Trout to a long-term kind of team-friendly deal. So he has made decent moves. none of it which is pitching. But Audie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, is famously favoring of offense over pitching. So we'll see if it was Empler or if it was the upper office. So let's give him a chance. Let's bring him to Queens and let's get something done. Have you found Otani's stats, Mike?
I found a lot of stats. In Mike Trout won in 2014, 2016, 2019.
Wow.
So since 2014, this would be the fourth time. So it is in between there. You had Josh Donaldson when he played for Toronto that 1 year. Flipped that into a big contract. Jose Altuve, Mookie Betts, and last year it was Jose Abreu from Chicago.
Yes, Chicago White Sox. Yes.
So, almost every other year since 2014, an Angels won it. It was either Trout, and now this year we have Otani. But he put up some pretty first of all, it's hard to judge him on just any level. He hit 46 home runs this year.
Otani?
Yes.
Wow.
46 home runs. Sadly, only 100 RBIs. I don't know how you hit 46 home runs and only have 100 RBIs.
You play for the Angels?
That seems skewed to me. I feel like that RBI number should be a whole lot higher.
That means the base pads are empty, man. That's mean the base pads are empty. That's what that means.
Yeah. Almost half of his RBI total came from home runs.
Yep.
Which means he didn't knock guys in unless he was hitting home runs in my head.
They need to be on base. I just had an argument with this on Facebook when somebody was all over Bryce Harper. Only having you need guys. You need ducks in the pond.
Right.
They're not in the pond. You're not getting them in.
Right.
You need them in.
He hit 257. His OPS was 965. I know you like OPS.
I like OPS. I got talked into that by Dave Price, my friend Dave Price. He brought that on, the importance of it, and he got me on OPS.
So on base plus slugging percentage.
Yes. It's a great stat. It really is. I didn't give it merit until he pointed out to me. That is a great stat. It's a great individual stat. Because I feel you can't really judge a guy by RBIs.
I think that's a terrible thing to judge.
Yeah, it's so many runs scored because, you know, they have to get you in. So OPS, batting average, I think those two are the best because that's just you, individual. That's just you making it happen. That's it. Batting average a little skewed because the scorer, the hometown scorer, they have it in there. A lot of those times, errors, hits are hits. I don't know if that happens so much that it's going to really move the needle, but OPS is a great stat. If you want to really see what a slugger is doing or what an offensive player is doing, I like OPS.
But then, so now here's just based on his batting alone, right? Mm-hmm. He also, let's keep in mind, led all of the majors in triples this year, apparently.
Wow. I say wow a lot.
So he had 8 triples this year. So he hit 46 home runs, had 8 triples. All right. That's pretty impressive. We could stop there and say that he could be the MVP.
Right.
The problem is with Shohei Ohtani, you can't stop there. Nope. So now I have to scroll down to his pitching stats.
Now, his pitching stats weren't anything that's going to be like, whoa, Cy Young Award. But the fact that
Cy Young Award, but the fact that he went 9-2 this year, right?
That's great. What's his ERA?
With a 3.18 ERA.
That's almost Cy Young.
Which is legitimately is as good as any regular pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, he had 156 strikeouts.
I mean, that's your...
So you could arguably put him into a Cy Young race. So if you hit 46 home runs and you're competitive in the Cy Young race,
what was his innings pitch?
Don't get
what was his innings pitch? It has to be north of 160. Okay, it had to be in the Cy Young. You had to be north of 160 to be in the Cy.
Well, and you have to remember, like he was hurt for a little while this year too. He missed some action this year.
He did.
He had a shoulder game. Yeah. And he had a shoulder problem. So they batted him. They let him play the outfield some more, but they didn't. I think he only started 23 games. I want to say most guys that like regular everyday guys are much closer to like 30 games started. Right.
Yeah.
I, I think.
Used to be. I don't know. Now guys are using sixth man rotation, so I don't know.
Right. Well, but again, used to be, skewed again now, but
yeah.
You know, I'm looking at some of the guys that I'm just, so I still had that the MVP list pulled up. Oh, I can't look at. Wow. 1968, Bob Gibson pitched
unreal.
304 innings.
Uh-huh. And look at the ERA. Only to be
outdone by Denny McClain, who won the AL MVP.
Yeah, he
with 336 innings.
I think
Denny McClain had under two ERAs.
Denny McClain won like a ridiculous amount of games. They might have won 30, actually. Can you check his?
He won 31.
Yeah, crazy.
With a 1.96 ERA.
That was the year of the pitcher, though. That's when they lowered the mound, and that's when things, you know, these competent pitchers get anything.
280 strikeouts. That year.
Hitters friendly. I mean, pitchers.
But even now, I mean, even okay, let's get into more like, and I'm only using these guys because I don't want to Google another thing. Clayton Kershaw won the NL MVP back in 2014.
Yeah, I remember
that year he went 21-3, 1.77 ERA. He only pitched 239 innings that year. So, I mean, it's an extra 100 innings.
It's a lot.
But you can't. Yeah, now that I think about it, that is a lot.
That's a hell of a lot, man.
It's like 11 full games.
Only nine games and nine innings a game, man. You know?
But also, he had almost – he started at least 24 games. He went 21-3.
Yeah.
Right? Amazing. So that's not counting all his no decisions. So Ohtani only started in 23 games. Meanwhile – Clayton Kershaw had 23 decisions.
Right.
We know there's at least 6, 7, 10 games that he didn't get he didn't get the decision on. Now I'm pulling up his stats. It was 2014.
Why you
started 27 games?
Well, he's gonna get a little bit more help coming his way because as Mike found out just before we jumped on here, that our boy, our man that we've been waiting for the last 2 years to finally get on the mound and give us hope in Queens has
is a real asshole.
Take his blonde ass hair and his reading book club and take his talents and his broken ass arm over to Anaheim and become a member of the same Los Angeles Angels we're talking about with Mike Trout and Ohtani, Noah Syndergaard. Signed a 1 year, $21 million, so $2.5 million more than the Mets were offering him. Noah Syndergaard for $2.5 million, who's taken everything this team has given him in rehabilitation and time and care in Queens and said, thanks but no thanks. Thanks for all the rehabilitation. Thanks for all the care. Thanks for nursing me back. And went to play in California. That's right. Noah Syndergaard is a Los Angeles Angel. So, Mike, we can finish this Ohtani thing, but I want you to jump right in to the loss of Noah Syndergaard.
I mean, I don't feel like the rotation is going to miss him because we haven't had him for 2 years. You know, he started two games in 2021.
True.
Right? And he went 0-1.
Right.
So, I think he only pitched – what was innings pitched here? He only pitched two innings in two games.
Right.
So he started two games, pitched one inning, and came out. That's not a season. And in those two innings, mind you, he gave up a home run, two earned runs, three hits, and only struck out two guys. And now that I'm looking, now that I have his actual stats pulled up in front of me.
This is Ohtani we're talking about.
No. I'm talking about Syndergaard.
Oh, Syndergaard. Syndergaard.
He hasn't been good in a couple years. I mean, even in 2019, he had a 4.5 ERA. He went 10-8. That's not. You can get a bunch of guys that can go 10-8 and have a 4.25 ERA.
You know why Mets fans love Syndergaard? A few reasons: the hair, the nickname. Threw at the guy's. I think it was Escobar's head. In game three of the 2015 World Series. That's it. And that whole, that viral umpire saying when he threw him out of the game, if they're throwing at Chase Utley, because he also threw at Chase Utley, you know, now I'm in the jackpot. The umpire will go out and say, because he threw some, That's why Met fans love him. That's the whole reason.
I thought he was fun.
He was okay. He was fine. He wasn't. He's not an ace. He's not. He should have been. He's got the makings of one, but he doesn't have the makeup of one.
Right.
So it's no. What I don't like is the fact that he not promised, but he made a lot of messages and a lot of posts. He's very active on Instagram about how he wants to stay in New York, how he wants to improve in New York, he wants to be in New York, he can't wait to get back in New York. And $2.5 million, and not only that, the Mets didn't even get a chance to match it. They got iced out. The agents never called them, didn't even know. The Mets didn't even know. They're waiting for him to answer for the qualifying offer for 18.5. And they didn't even tell him that, no, we're gonna take $2.5 million more out in California. They didn't even give him the courtesy of letting them match it. So screw you, Noah Syndergaard. You deserve everything that's coming your way. And I hope you fail. I'm not usually like that. But in this situation, I am. Because this situation sucks. You don't do that to a team that took care of you. And that's why sports, that's why I would never buy a jersey for my kids with a name on it. I'll get a number, but not a name. Because the names mean nothing. They change like this. They have no loyalty. Teams have no loyalty. The players have no loyalty. Now I have no loyalty. Yeah. I don't care. I'll buy the number. I'll get the number. You know, if they want a Lindor, I'll get him a 12 with nothing on the back or their own name. If they want a Alonso, I'll get a 20. But I'm not getting the number. I'm not getting the name. That's ridiculous. I don't care about the player anymore. I really don't. Get the best players on the field. This is the team I grew up loving. All these players weren't even alive when I started rooting for this team. So Noah Syndergaard, go screw yourself. Go to California, the best for you, but I hope you fail miserably, sir.
He's also going to an epically bad team, like a historically bad team. Mm-hmm. And he's not young anymore. He's 28. He's not,
28 with a lot of problems.
28 with a slew of health problems. There's a reason he only got a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. Just nobody could trust him for pitching for a full year.
Right.
You know, I'm amazed that he got it. I'm amazed he got $21 million from anybody.
I know. I don't know. Verlander also got $25 million. He didn't throw a pitch last year.
Yeah, I saw. That popped up as like an ad that.
So when they're Verlander complaining,
signed with Houston.
Yeah. Right? So when they're complaining with the CBA this year and they're going back and forth, screw you, baseball. You just $46 million just went out to two players who haven't thrown a pitch in 2020. So don't tell me there's no money around. Don't say that. Please save it. Get it together. You better be on the field come opening day, or you're gonna lose it all. We don't want to hear about you bickering back and forth about money. Obviously, money doesn't matter. It's obvious. $46 million to people who didn't even two guys who didn't even throw a pitch. Well, yeah. Syndergaard threw a few pitches in 2021.
And they all got smacked.
All right, Mike. Before we wrap it up, I have. A big news out in L.A., not the Syndergaard news, but more of the news, and that is the naming of an arena. That's right. The Staples Arena, the famous Staples Arena, or the whatever arena it was before that.
Staples Center is what they
The Staples Center, I apologize. Mm-hmm. The home of Kobe Bryant is changing. They sold the naming rights. And you know what the naming rights are now, Mike?
I don't.
Cryptocurrency Arena. Cryptocurrency Arena. That's where we are. Sign of the times. Cryptocurrency. Do you even know what it is? I do not.
I do. I have a crypto.com account on.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So Mike's going to be rich.
I have a couple of things that are literally worth like 0.00008 per share. Nice. So like $6 gets me 100,000 of them. And hopefully one day they'll all be worth a dollar.
There you go. That's a lot of money.
And if I lose $6, I lose $6.
Yeah. I mean, that's great.
It can't hurt. So.
Yep. All right. So it got me thinking.
I think I own like 2.something million shares of one thing.
That's awesome.
So if that one thing ever actually 1.3 million, I own 1.3 million shares of one crypto. If that one ever. Hell, even if it's worth a nickel, you know?
Yeah, right.
1.3 million nickels is a lot of nickels.
A lot of nickels.
So,
That's a lot of time at the CoinStar machine. That's a lot of time at the CoinStar machine. Yeah. That thing's
that's 65 grand. I mean, wow. That's a nice car. Even if it just gets to a nickel, it's a nice car. You know?
That's beautiful. That's 65 grand.
That's a couple years of college for these for my kids, you know? 65 grand.
So, that's great.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking of naming. It got me thinking of naming of arenas. Yeah. A lot of times it's sponsored, but what if arenas were named for the area? What if arenas were named, to more represent what was going on there? So I came up with a few. I'm gonna give you the names I came up with, and I'm gonna see if you can guess who I'm talking about that plays there. They're all baseball teams.
Okay.
And now I came up with some names for their field.
And I have
to try to guess who the team is and see if this would be a good representation. If you can guess this team, obviously this would work, right? Okay. So the first one is beautiful downtown blank to where Balco Park. The home that Balco built.
Is that it's two words though? So I want to say three. Balco wasn't that the steroid thing? Yeah. Is that San Francisco Stadium?
Yeah, the San Francisco Giants, okay. Balco Park.
I couldn't decide Balco. Between San Francisco. I was going to say Oakland because of McGuire.
San Francisco because Balco is more Barry Bonds.
Right.
Balco.
Right.
That would work. Glad Dome. Glad spelled with two A's. The Glad Dome.
The Ziploc people.
What else do they sell?
Trash bags. So Houston, the Astros.
Hey,
okay. I got there.
Here we go. This is a hard one now. Seven and out stadium.
Seven and out.
This would be a great, great name for this stadium because the people go for seven and they're out.
I mean, that could be the Mets stadium.
No, that's four. That should be four. Four and what's the name of McFadden's? Four and McFadden's. That's what city would be.
Seven and out. That one's too far out there for me.
Dodgers. They go for seven innings and they're out. Beating the traffic. That's LA Dodgers.
Yeah. All right.
This one's hard. Sorry, my fault, Arena. Sorry, Boot Dat.
Is that the Detroit Tigers?
A Boot.
Oh.
There's only one team in this great country. Sorry, Aboot. Tim Hortons would be a major.
Toronto, the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Okay. A little Canadian, pleasant trees.
So the reason I went Detroit Tigers is because that one pitcher was supposed to have a perfect game. And the umpire. He was probably like, sorry about that. So that's why I went Detroit. That was my logic there.
Very good. Okay. So why are we still here, Field?
Why are we still here, Field? There's a handful of teams that could.
There's a team, but there's one team.
It's the Tampa Bay Rays. That is 100% the Tampa Bay Rays.
They are flirting with leaving for the last 20 years.
Why do we make the playoffs, almost win the World Series, and have no fans in our stands?
All right, Star Megabucks.
Oh, the Seattle Mariners.
Just a huge Starbucks that they also play baseball at. Would be a great place for Seattle, right?
Yeah. They'd actually get more fans if they did that.
Right.
More people would show up to the game if they played in a Starbucks.
Deplorable Park.
Oh, Philly?
Yes!
Nailed it.
All right, this one's more home, and this one's more because I just have a problem with certain people. The joyless field, no matter what happens, the joy just goes away.
That could be either New York team you're referring
to. Yes, it's basically, pick one.
I'm pick a New York team.
Good. And the last one, and this is a football one. The football one. And the reason why I did this, is because, and I'm gonna have you basically doing this. This team either gets effed or they suck. effed or sucked. Effed, I don't want to say the word, you know what I mean?
Right.
They got 2 years in a row, they missed the championship game of their...
The New Orleans Saints.
Sports, yes. Yep. And when they aren't being... so you got the Saints. So yeah. I called the Saints. When they aren't being screwed by the refs, they suck. So yeah. They're going to play at the Pornhub Dome. The Pornhub Dome. Sponsored by Pornhub, because you either get effed or you get the F or yes. If we'll come up more next week or next time we get together. That's if cities were correctly named. So that's all for me. I got this week, Mike. Anything else for you?
I'm good, man. That was a good time.
Very happy Thanksgiving.
We're going on a little hiatus for a little while.
We are.
We'll probably do one more late December.
Yeah, that sounds good. And then we'll come back all new, fresh.
Yeah, in 2022.
All right, brother? All right.
All right, sounds good.
That's it for us. And for all we say, who's next? Goodbye.